open to you speaking to us through Pete. In Jesus' name, amen. And there's someone at my door.
That's great. Thank you so much, Andy. Really great to be with you, even though it is virtually and all the way from the Highlands of Scotland. My subject, which I've been asked to look at this morning, very does discipleship look like in the season that we find ourselves in right now? And I guess there's two answers to that. It looks like it's always looked like it's about following Jesus. But of course, in these circumstances, there are some really particular things that we need to give attention to if we're going to be doing that well, and we're going to be doing that in a healthy, life-giving fashion. I'm fascinated by the fact that we quickly, perhaps readily, sometimes too readily, call ourselves or acknowledge that we are Christians. That's the most used title, I guess, that we have for ourselves. We are Christians. I am a Christian. But actually, if we look in Scripture, that's not an expression that we find communicated there across the New Testament very, very rarely. In fact, across the whole of the Gospels and the epistles in the New Testament, the word Christian is only times. And it's not just that it's not used very often, it's that when it is used, the word Christian to describe a follower of Jesus is used by the enemies of the church. So it's a term that was actually first put together by a group of people in Antioch, speaking of the church in Antioch. And as far as we can understand in that context, the word Christian was quite a derogatory term. It kind of meant a small imitation of the real thing, a little Christ, but not really the real thing. But now the name that we most readily append to ourselves as followers of Jesus. But if we press back into the New Testament, there's another word which is used much, much more commonly to describe the followers of Jesus, who called themselves followers of the way, after Jesus called himself way, truth, chapter 14, verse 6. And the word that's used most commonly to describe followers of the way in the New Testament is the word disciple. And that word occurs 269 times. So I think God, who is very careful in his economy with words and with the word, it has used that emphasis really clearly. You don't have to be a mathematician to work out where God places the emphasis in Scripture. It's not on being a Christian, it's on being a disciple. And I really like that, because I think the word Christian, it kind of almost speaks of a finished product. I was this, I didn't used to be a Christian, but now I'm this, I am a Christian. Whereas the word disciple much more speaks, I think, about process rather than just complete change. And I think if we can get hold of that in this day and age and the circumstances that we find ourselves in, we're likely to receive much more of the kindness of God in our journey with him, and we're likely to be much more kind to ourselves when we get things wrong, and perhaps we're more likely to extend more grace and kindness to those around us who already know Jesus and are on this discipleship journey, and to those who are around us who do not yet know Jesus. But in these current situations, many, many people, sometimes in desperation, are turning to Christ and perhaps to their surprise, finding him. So the emphasis in the New Testament for discipleship is on that word disciple, one who is in a process, one who is on a journey. And that kind of makes sense, I think, really, because studies were done a few years ago now in the UK trying to find out how did people come to faith in Christ in the first place. In general, 61% of people found faith in Christ through the influence of friends and through process rather than through crisis. So even becoming a follower of Jesus for most of us is a process. Some of us will have a time and a place and a date where we first chose to follow Jesus, but many of us won't. Many of us know that we love Jesus and we seek to follow him, But we don't know exactly when that started. For us, it was a process. It was a series of steps in a journey. And so too, as we continue in following Jesus. Let me finish this first 5-minute slot with a little statement. If you have dreams, if we have dreams of usefulness for Jesus, if we have dreams to be more like Christ, if we have dreams to be useful, I think we have to acknowledge that our dreams demand our development. We are not the finished article. Our dreams demand our development. And in the New Testament, development is described as discipleship. So what does discipleship look like in this day and age? It looks like it always has. We need to be in process. I grow so frustrated with myself and with other Christians who seem to have stopped learning. We're all in a journey of learning. And so I guess my first question, I've got three questions for you this morning. My first question for you this morning before I hand back to whoever I'm handing back to, Andy, I think, the question is this. What was the last thing that Jesus taught you? I'm not talking about when you got saved. I'm not talking about last year. I'm talking about maybe this week and maybe even this morning. Question. What was the last thing that Jesus taught you in this discipleship journey of following him? Andy, back to you.
Great. Thanks, Pete. That's a really good question for us to be thinking about, isn't it? And reflecting on as well as I have been the last few weeks, all the different opportunities and needs.
Thank you, Andy. Okay, well, I think the next thing I want to say to share with you this morning is how incredibly inclusive discipleship is. There are five propositions that I want to make to you really briefly this morning about the nature of biblical discipleship, which carry through even in the circumstances that we find ourselves in at this moment. The first proposition that I want to make is this. Discipleship is utterly biblical. It's not fanciful. It's not stylistic. I mean, it is a bit of a buzzword. A lot of churches that I have care of talk about discipleship, but the critical issue is not talking about it. It's actually doing it. And we find that discipleship as a concept is utterly and totally biblical. And if we pause for a moment, which we don't have time to do, we would readily come up with examples from the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, because discipleship is not confined to the New Testament, which are examples of how very biblical this notion of learning is. So from the Old Testament, our minds might fly to examples like Elijah, who disciples Elisha and takes him under his wing, and Elisha goes on to do things that Elijah never did. We might think about Ruth and Naomi. We might think in the New Testament about Paul and Timothy. We might think about the supreme example, I suppose, of Jesus with the 12 disciples, but not just with the 12. Within the 12, he had the three that were particularly close to him, Peter, James, and John. Within three, he had the one, John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Wider than the 12, Jesus had the 70 or 72, and so it goes. So disciples. Discipleship is totally a fanciful notion. It's not a buzzword. We must be rooted in our following of Jesus in a scripture, and discipleship is found throughout scripture. Here's my second proposition to you about the nature of biblical discipleship. It is essential. It's not optional. It's not for hardcore Christians. It's not for those who are really trying hard. Discipleship is for all of us. It's essential. It's not optional. And I guess that's made as clear anywhere in the Bible as at the very end of Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 28 and verses 16 to 20, where Jesus gives whatever version you're using, it will read something like the Great Commission. And these are the last recorded words of Christ that we have. So you would imagine he'd be careful about what he was going to say as before he went back to be with his Father in heaven. What does he say? Next 20, Jesus lays out the mandate to his followers, the 11 as it was then, to go and make disciples of all nations, te ethne is the word that's used in the Greek, which means literally of every people group, of every ethnicity, of every tribe and nation. And so that command of Christ ripples down from the original 11 to all those that they taught, to teach them everything that Jesus commanded, to all those that they taught, and it ripples across the years, 2,000 years, and across the miles, 2,000 miles. And the mandate to be a disciple and to make disciples lands on you and it lands on me this morning. So discipleship is biblical, it's not fanciful, it's essential, it's not optional. It's also, third proposition, it's perpetual. It's not temporal, it doesn't stop. Discipleship is not or in our Sunday schools. Discipleship should run right through the life of church, right through the lives of every follower of Jesus, because it's perpetual. It's not temporary. You never graduate from the Jesus school of discipleship. So when I first became a Christian, probably back when I was around about 11 and thinking things through to myself, I had people who were discipling me. When I went to university, age 18, and first got filled with the Holy Spirit, I had people who were discipling me. I could tell you their names. I'm still in contact with them. But I'm now 63 years old. I've been following Jesus as closely and as hard as I can for 42 years. And I'm still being discipled. I could give you the names. I could tell you the people that I am accountable to, that know everything that there is to know about. It's biblical, not fanciful, essential, not optional, perpetual, and not temporal. It goes on. The topics may change, the rhythms may change, the people may change, but we shouldn't stop ever being discipled. Here's my fourth proposition. Discipleship is intentional. It's not accidental. In other words, disciples are made. They're not just born. It doesn't just happen. They're not even just born again. I think it's possible to be born again and actually not be being discipled. And actually, can I suggest to you, because I found this to be true for myself, that unless we are intentionally and deliberately making sure that we are being discipled, it will not happen. So discipleship is intentional, it's not accidental. One of the main words that's used for disciple in the New Testament is the word mathetes. And the word literally means learner. As you learn, so you do. As you do, so you learn. You don't learn in a vacuum. You don't learn with a load of head knowledge. You get on and you do, you make mistakes, and as you do, you learn. As you learn, you do. And so we go on in this journey of discipleship with Jesus. And the fifth proposition that I want to say before I pose you another question this morning is that discipleship is also relational. It's not essentially informational. It's relational. It's about the heart. It's not about whether you've done a discipleship course or whether you've read through a certain book or... It's about engaging with God, engaging with yourself, and engaging with other people, which is why one of the other main words in the New Testament for disciple, discipleship, discipling is the word didasco, which is to do with teaching, but it literally means to repeatedly extend the hand for acceptance, to go again, to repeatedly extend the hand of friendship, looking for acceptance. So here's my question to you. Second question this morning. The first question was, what was the last thing that Jesus taught you? My second question is this. In this discipleship journey, who is discipling you? Not what book, not what course, what person relationally is inputting your life, knows everything there is to know about you, good, bad, and ugly. Who is discipling you and who are you discipling? Because this is a two-way journey. Okay, I think we're going to now engage in some more worship.
Those photos and send them in. And Pete, we come back to you for the last time. And just maybe if you could pray for us as a church and as individuals as you wrap up, that would be great. Thank you.
Of course, thank you. So I've tried to outline what I think is a biblical understanding of discipleship and what it is to be a follower of Jesus right here and right now. But of course, these are remarkable times. There are remarkable circumstances where everything which can be shaken is being shaken. But of course, God is unshakable. And our following of Jesus can also be safe from being shaken. And I want to suggest to you just a few ideas to finish with as to what our discipleship might look like even in these times, in these circumstances. Here's the first idea. I think that discipleship still needs to look like accountable relationships. At a time when we are separated from one another, we can't go out, we can't meet, we can't hug, we can't hold, we can do this sort of thing. And many of us, including technophobes like me, are learning what it is to virtually meet. So can I strongly suggest that discipleship in these circumstances looks like either beginning or maintaining accountable relationships. Use WhatsApp video links, use Zoom, use Skype, use Messenger video, text, whatever it is, but remain in relationship and remain accountable. Who is it that knows everything that there is to know about your life and you have permission to speak into it? Here's another in this day and age also looks something like keeping a record. We don't want to lose the lessons in a time like this. God has not caused this, but God will bring good out of this. He is a redemptive God, and we don't want to miss the moment. What is scripture if it's not a series of ways of remembering the dealings of God in the lives of his people? And I think a part of discipleship is not just accountable relationships, but also accessible journaling. Make a record. Write it down however you best do that. I do it in the old-fashioned way with a pen and with paper, but keep some form of record so that you can remember the dealings of God, but you can also reflect on the dealings of God. Remember and reflect. That's what a lot of scripture is about. We need to be doing some form of journaling at this time as part of our growth and our discipleship. We don't lose the lessons. The Apostle Paul constantly says in his letters, I remember, I recall. He reminds himself. Accessible journaling is a way of doing that. Here's another thought. Measurable prayer. We all have more time than we did. I have more time to pray for the churches that I have care of, to pray for the leaders that I mentor, to pray for DNA, the church-based discipleship year that I'm responsible for. Measurable prayer. What do I mean by that? Make sure you know who you're praying for. What are you praying for when you're praying for those people? When are you doing that? And if, like me, because we're all broken, aren't we, you can sometimes struggle with the rhythms of that, have a look at 24/7's app. It's brilliant. It's free. Do their Lectio as a daily way of measurable progress as to what discipleship looks like in this current climate. What about sustainable reading? What is it that you are reading at the moment? What a great time to engage on a daily basis with maybe just a few verses. Again, you read through the Bible in a year. You can do that online. You can do it visually. You can do it audibly. But what about sustainable reading? Not trying to do more than you can do and then beat yourself up when it fails. But reading the Bible, but also more than just the Bible. I'm getting through books on my bookshelves that I've been waiting to read for ages. I'm not just doing jobs in the garden. This is a great time to deepen our discipleship. And the last thing that I'll mention, perhaps, accountable relationships, accessible journaling, measurable prayer, sustainable reading, helpful actions. Remember that the word disciple, matheta. So this is a time perhaps like no other to get to know your neighbours. This is a time perhaps like no other, not just to recreate new schemes, but to join in the many schemes around us. We have a neighbourhood thing that I've joined up here to support those who can't look after themselves at this time. Helpful actions, volunteer, join in, because discipleship is not just about up here, but up here, in here, and then what we put into action. So here's my last challenge of us this morning before I pray for you. If you're doing some of those, accountable relationships, accessible journaling, measurable prayer, sustainable reading, helpful action, why don't you choose one of those five things that you're not doing? And over the course of this next week, start to build a habit of doing just one of them. If you're not doing any of those things, just choose one. One of those things will help you in your journey of following Jesus. Accountable relationships, accessible journaling, measurable prayer, sustainable reading, helpful actions. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, I'm gutted that I couldn't be with this church, ISCA, that I've been to before, with my friends, Andy and Karina and others that I know there in the church. I can't be there personally, but thank you for technology that means we can still church like this. I pray your deepest blessing, your richest blessing at this time, that this church will know that there is a river from God that flows through this church, and that they'll know your blessing as they seek to be a blessing to many, and that many will find Jesus for the first time at this time. And I ask these things in Jesus' name, and we agree them together in us. Through our thoughts, Christ's glory. Amen.